Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the central coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Dr. Paul Cameron, who I guess I've known for the better part of 20 years. Paul, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, we're getting older, aren't we, Dan?
We sure are, but Paul has been really on the front lines of the battle to try to let people understand what's really happening to our society, and that so much of the material you're getting through regular channels just is not accurate. So you pick up the story. What's your latest work on?
Well, right now, you may have noticed that the Centers for Disease Control, just this July 1, released an annual smoking survey, and they say, the CDC, that between lost productivity and medical costs and so forth, they figure that smokers cost our society about $168 billion per year. And that's a lot of money. But in comparison, for the area that interests me, that is the homosexual movement, far fewer numbers of homosexuals. Remember that the Centers for Disease Control's very large national sexuality survey put the number of active, that is, in the last year, at about 1.2% of the adult population. And they, along with others suffering from AIDS, and we're just talking about the disease AIDS, are costing our society about $102 to $103 billion a year in lost productivity, various kinds of costs. Now, bottom line, it works out that the average smoker is costing our society about $3,000 every year, and the average homosexual is costing our society about $25,000 every year. And yet, the CDC has issued this report in the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. It made the news. A lot of people talked about it. No one's talking about a much greater, if you would, threat in the sense of our children are being encouraged now in schools all across the nation. Our children and adults are being encouraged by the media to maybe think about the possibility that they should try this out.
And, of course, you know, the devastating health effects is not simply AIDS. It's all the other health effects that, you know, and this is why homosexuals die young. And if you really care about them, you would think the CDC, if they were trying to prevent disease, would be saying this is not a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, that's what you would expect. Say the CDC, my goodness, they were up in arms about SARS. Remember that about a year ago? Talking about quarantine, all kinds of massive interventions into our society lest this disease get out of the hospitals. But the CDC has a lot of people on staff who are themselves homosexuals. And surprisingly, not only have they not released and articulated the massive sexuality survey they did in 1996, which we have just published, but they also are talking about everything else instead of the downside of homosexuality.
And, of course, this is one of the greatest dangers to health and the health of the homosexuals. If you care about homosexuals, you would certainly let them know, and especially the young people recruited in, what lies ahead for them.
That's right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Dr. Paul Cameron, who I've known for 20 years, I guess, and he's with the Family Research Institute, and he's been on the front lines of the efforts to educate people about the health hazards of homosexuality. And he was simply pointing out to our initial listeners that the CDC is so concerned about the health hazards of tobacco. And of course, if you calculate it out, why the health hazards of tobacco cost the average American about $1,000 to $2,000 a year. But he turns around and then looks at their own survey of the cost of the AIDS epidemic, and that is costing the average American, how much does it cost them?
Well, it's $25,000 per year per homosexual, that is gay. And you say, how did that come about? Well, for instance, as you may be aware, society is the insurer of last resort for, like, the protease inhibitors, the drug cocktail that's now being given to people that get infected with HIV. The medical bill per year for that treatment is $35,000 a year. For a recreational sex of a particular kind that is unusually dangerous, and on the one hand, you have the CDC talking, and justly so, I think, warning people about the dangers of smoking, trying to put in preventative programs in schools and on TV and what have you. At the same time, the same CDC is spending time and effort to get homosexuality accepted in society, and instead of warning about multitudinal dangers associated with this lifestyle, seems determined to promote it. Kind of strange, hard to figure out, but certainly worth contemplating.
Well, I think what's so difficult, I think, for the average person, the average parent to realize is that starting in kindergarten, homosexuality is being presented as perfectly normal. They're working on the minds of our children in kindergarten. They even want to get them into preschool now so they can get them to believe all of these perverse things. And at every level of education today, the normality of homosexual is being preached and introduced and taught in public schools all across America. And there is an agenda to homosexualize or get people to accept this as perfectly normal. And in the process, of course, some unfortunate young people will fall into this lifestyle, both boys and girls, into a disastrous, not lifestyle, but death style. All right, I guess this afternoon is Dr. Paul Cameron, and we have all of our stations back with us. So, Paul, you pick up the story from there.
Well, let's think back, say, about 25 years as the AIDS epidemic got off the ground. It was a new epidemic. It was terribly unfortunate. It was killing people, as near as we could tell, very, very rapidly. It was quite a few years before we understood that for most people, it took about 10 years from an infection to actually develop the disease. And then it took another 2 or 3 years before the person succumbed to that disease, which we called AIDS. At the onset, it didn't look that way. At the onset of the disease, it appeared almost like a medical miracle. People, young men, otherwise healthy, were turning up at UCLA and in San Francisco and New York with strange kinds of symptoms, some sort of immunologic compromise, and no one really knew for sure how it was spread. At that juncture, it would have been possible, probably, to largely, not completely, but largely to have shut down the spread of this virus by saying, well, gee, we've got the gay infrastructure, that's where people are getting ill. We've got the drug shooting culture, that's where people are getting ill. Almost nobody else, unless they've gotten blood from these people or they're treating these people, is falling ill from to this disease. So let's do what we can to shut down these infrastructures, make it difficult for the people who enjoy these two kinds of recreations to engage, and let's see if we can figure out how they're disease is being transmitted, but at least let's get a handle on it right away. That, of course, is what has happened with SARS last year. Remember that as it broke out in hospitals across the world, in particular, and here and there in apartment buildings and what have you, public health authorities immediately said, we don't know exactly how this thing is being spread, but we're just going to impose a quarantine until we can figure out how. And it could have been done, should have been done, in my opinion, at the beginnings of the AIDS epidemic. Now we're 25 or so years into it. We know that still most people take about 10 years from an infection before it blooms into a disease. And so the infections that the young men were dying of, say, in 80, 81, 82, probably had been acquired in the early 70s, as, I guess, gay rights took off. Now, we have about 320,000 gays who are already dead of this disease. The CDC recently announced they estimate about 1 million people, could be 900,000, could be 1 million, 100,000, somewhere in there, carrying this virus. And they've also estimated about 55% of them engage in homosexuality.
But, you know, the most amazing thing about this whole incredible story is that the CDC has done everything they could to block doing the necessary things to stop the epidemic. They actually said doctors cannot test for this disease, you know, without doing extensive counseling, knowing full well it wasn't going to do a bit of good, that doctors were not going to spend half an hour counseling patients before they did a simple blood test. If that was the case in doctors' offices across America, why, doctors wouldn't do any blood tests. And that's exactly what the CDC set out to do. They set out to block premarital testing and prenatal testing and neonatal testing and trying to identify who had the disease. No other disease has ever been treated like this disease. And as you say, over 500,000 people are dead in America. A totally failed public health policy, of which we can attribute directly to the policies of the Centers for Disease Control that knew what should be done and refused to do it.
Yes. And, of course, you can say, well, in retrospect, anyone can be a Monday morning quarterback. And to a degree, that's true.
No, but Paul, you were saying what needed to be done back in 1986 and 1987, and I was as well. And we were attacked and vilified and demonized.
Right. And education, as you recall, was the solution to the AIDS epidemic. Do you notice it is still the solution to the AIDS epidemic? We are spending literally billions on educating people. And really, when you think about it, it comes down to preaching the efficacy of condoms. Condoms are the answer. Use them consistently. Use them correctly. Use them every time, and everything will work out.
And, of course, we have in America today 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. That's the end result of the condom mania preached by the CDC. How could you do such a poor job unintentionally? 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease over and above the AIDS epidemic. And yet we never talk about the great success of our medical leaders.
This is one of those peculiar instances, I think, and they happen periodically in both medicine and throughout our political system, where you do something that doesn't work, you throw more money at it, you do more of it. Along the way, you keep saying, gee, I don't understand this. Why isn't this working? But you keep doing more of it, and you keep spending more money on it, and we have. And we're doing it, and they're still doing it today, and it is not working.
And, of course, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And, of course, either these people are insane or they know exactly what they're doing back there in Atlanta. And having been there, I think I would be feel concerned, assured that they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, perhaps so. They certainly ought to know by now that the stratagem of saying, educate people, it'll all work out, simply will not.
Right.
And if you look, that's pretty well true with smoking. remember that just a couple of years ago, we had this massive program up in Washington State, a glorious program. I'm an anti-smoking kind of guy, and this was a program that I think anyone would say, this is first class. First of all, a large number of students, starting in seventh grade, effectively preached at, watching videos, hearing lectures, peer lectures, a whole schmear. Everything that you've ever thought might reasonably work was thrown at these kids. A random survey, a random assignment. Some schools were put in the program, some were not. And it went on and on from 7th through 12th grade. And it was followed up. By the time they were 2 years out of school, with all this preachment, we're talking about smoking. This isn't something that I don't think anybody in society is saying, well, give it a try. Think about it. You know, it might be your kind of thing.
Try it, you might like it. That's what they said at our local high school to get the kids into homosexuality. And this was done with the full support of the administration down there.
Right. But not so with smoking. Well, as you know, this largest, elegant study, can you teach kids not to smoke? It turns out, 2 years after they left school, if anything, there was a slight overage of smoking on the part of those kids that had gotten the preachment. No one can say. AIDS, of course, could be different. Particular disease could be different than a particular habit than smoking. But we have done these kinds of studies I don't know how many times. Whether it comes to don't smoke, don't use drugs, whatever, and they generally just don't work, unfortunately. And when you educate people about whatever it is, there are some kids, I think about 15% out there, who say they wouldn't be telling us all this stuff. They wouldn't be telling us all this stuff is bad unless there was a whole lot of fun to be had somewhere in the middle of this thing. And I'm afraid that's what's going on right now with the AIDS epidemic. You hear all this stuff about condoms. I'm surprised, certainly, the fact that there has actually been a slight decrement in the numbers of teenagers losing their virginity at, say, age 16 and age 17 and age 15. See, that's great. I don't think it has much to do or anything to do with the condom preachments and so forth that have been going on in school.
Oh, don't you think maybe it's the abstinence programs that some of these have really been worked at very hard by very dedicated people? And it's contrary to what the people on the other side who have a different agenda say. I believe abstinence works 100% of the time, and I believe a lot of kids are holding off of having intimate relations because of a good program. But that's not what the CDC is pushing. The CDC's program is exactly the opposite. You can't give kids a mixed message like, abstinence is all right, but, go ahead and, we know you're going to do it anyway. It's sort of like the old adage of you're going to send your child out and you're going to say, if you're going to drive the car, why you should not drive when you're drunk. But if you're going to drink, why go ahead and use a safety belt.
Right.
And what parent would do that? And yet that's exactly the message we're giving to our kids in school.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's kind of the backup, supposedly, the condom. Really is front and center, and the notion of reserving oneself for later in life and marriage gets lip service, but it really isn't pushed except here and there. And I agree with you. I think that's at least a plausible reason why we haven't had the acceleration in youth sex that we otherwise might have seen.
And I think so we were really indebted to these people who really have got out in the limb to do it against all the opposition of the Centers for Disease Control and the medical facilities all across America. They pay lip service to abstinence and morality, but of course they always want to add, but of course we want to learn to protect yourself. You see these ads today pointing out that to the black, this is decimating the black community. What's the solution? Why protect yourself?
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like the corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Paul Cameron with the Family Research Institute. And Paul, before I forget, would you like to get your telephone number out, your website, so people would know how they can get in touch with your institution?
Sure. We're at 303-681-3113. That's 303-681-3113. And our website is www, of course, Family Research Inst, I-N-S-T, or Institute, Family Research Inst, I-N-S-T, .org. We'd be delighted to hear from you.
And, of course, Paul has been at this for a long time, and I guess I've taken his newsletter now for almost close to 20 years, and always enjoy the information he has out, because he will keep you on the cutting edge of the scientific research that's coming out dealing with the issue of homosexuality and its devastating impact on our society today. So pick up the story there, Paul.
Yeah, there's something new under the sun. Something that happened in 1996 that we are now publishing this very month. The CDC ran the first government-sponsored, government-financed, government-run National Sexuality Survey. Over 12,000 people participated. It's a grand survey. It's not one of the usual Kinsey surveys or the kinds of sex surveys that would be hot, so to speak, who does what to whom and hanging from what and all that kind of stuff. This is serious. This actually looks at, you can answer questions such as what are the effects on society of particular sexual choices? What are the effects on employers of particular sexual choices? This is an important survey, and we're publishing it. That is Family Research Institute in the refereed scientific journal, Psychological Reports, this very month. It may be in your libraries right now. The CDC didn't publish it. We are.
And I think it's really so interesting to know that the CDC suppresses information in many instances from the people that we have paid for. But, of course, they have an agenda, and if it goes against their agenda, they're just not going to let this word out. Would that be a fair assessment?
It sure seems that way. Like, consider some of the findings. First, the major argument that is being advanced, I think, across the world in regard to homosexuality is, look, yes, we're different, but we're only different in one particular. We love people of our own sex. And most people love people of the opposite sex, but otherwise, no difference. Love is love, blah, 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 blah. This CDC study asked questions such as this. 1,000 people each month were asked about their employment practices. In particular, do you have a job? And in the last 30 days, did you miss a day or two at work? And did you miss a day or two of work because you were ill or because you just didn't feel like going? It turns out that those who engaged in homosexuality, recall about 1.2% of adults in the survey, 34% of them missed at least one day of work in the last 30. That compares to 19% of people in general. And there's a clear sex difference, one that I think if you'll think about it, you would figure. Men are more apt to be on the job than women. And sure enough, gays were somewhat more apt to be on the job than lesbians. Straight men were more apt to be on the job than straight women. Interestingly, I think, if you wanted to have a guy, if you wanted to hire someone, that you would be the most apt to show up for work, the most apt to not have to cover for because Joe's sick or Joe feels like taking a day off or whatever. What you'd want is a married man. They had the very best attendance record, and the very worst was by lesbians, unattached lesbians. There's a difference there. There's a difference between those kinds of those people who engage in homosexuality, even when it comes to their work habits, from those who don't. And married people, as I said, they scored at the top of the heap. Both married men, not quite as good, married women.
But, of course, the thing is, Paul, that they have an obligation. They're worried about their family. I mean, they have a different worldview. And that, I think, probably is why they're willing to work harder. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Paul Cameron of the Family Research Institute.
probably interesting.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon, Dr. Paul Cameron, and basically he's talking about this survey that was done by the CDC, probably in, 1996?
And as I said, this is a survey. I don't think any survey to end all surveys, but this is the biggest, by far, random sexuality survey ever done in the United States. Think back to 1994. The University of Chicago investigators made all the covers of Time and Newsweek, and they were on 60 Minutes. They were everywhere. They had a sample of under 3,500 people, and it was the usual sex survey. Who does what to whom, and what kind of nasty bits do they do, and blah, 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 blah. This is a serious sex survey, much larger, almost four times the size, and asking the kinds of questions that are really key to what makes a society tick. Recall, we just said that statistically, a substantial difference that says to employers, you really ought, if you're thinking about people that you want on the job, if yours is the kind of a job, and just about everyone is, every job is, that you need people there when they're supposed to be there and you don't want to cover for them and so forth, well then what you really want to discriminate for married people. And likewise, if you want to make money and you don't want to have to spend a lot of money on illness and people missing and so forth, don't hire homosexuals.
But of course the thing is, as an employer, you're not allowed to discriminate or to think about these things when you're picking somebody. In fact, you can end up getting sued for discrimination if you discriminate against somebody who has a serious illness and will certainly drain the coffers of your insurance company taking care of them.
Yes. Isn't it interesting that government has jumped into the foray and said, we don't want to look at the evidence, even though the government has collected the evidence in this instance. We don't want to think about the evidence. What we want to think about is human rights and human dignity. And if people really enjoy engaging in homosexuality, no one, certainly no employer, should be able to discriminate against them. Here's the government data. But that means they're going to have less productivity out of these people. And the government's saying, who cares? It's what's right that counts. Human rights trump a company just making money. Let's go to another finding. Same study. This is a CDC study. What about criminality? Is it really true that other than who they love, homosexuals are no different than heterosexuals when it comes to how they are? Well, we know that they now differ at least in terms of whether or not they're apt to show up for work. But also, homosexuals were twice as apt by the Centers for Disease Control Standards to have engaged in homosexuality, to have been booked for a crime, as non-homosexuals, 23% versus 11%. Now, let me point out something here. 11% of the general population of adults has at some time been booked for a crime. Think about that. That's a lot. And over a fifth of homosexuals, disproportionately, both gays and lesbians, but lesbians even more than women in general, have been booked for a serious crime. That's another very significant difference. Let's say you're an employer. Let's say that you are an employer of school teachers. You'd think this might be something you'd take into account. You'd say, let me get this right. If I hire a teacher, someone who's going to be before the kids, and they're going to teach a topic, a subject matter, yes, but they're also going to teach themselves. Every teacher does. If I hire homosexuals, they're more apt to miss some days of work, and B, they're more apt to have a criminal history. I've got to think about that. Is that really wise to say, thou shalt not discriminate?
But of course, that is the law. This is the insanity that we have in our federal law today.
Yep. Though it doesn't cover the state of California, and a number of other states have gay rights laws that prohibit discrimination in employment. Most states do not, but who knows, up the line, maybe they will. Who knows? Maybe the federal government will get involved and voice this upon us. Let's go back again to the CDC study. Remember, this is the largest national random sex survey ever done in the history of the United States, the very first one with federal backing. Probably cost you and me about $13 million to do this puppy. Another important question. Have you used illegal drugs in the last year? Now, that's one of the main reasons this survey was done. This survey, the sexual part of the survey, was tacked on to the annual National Household Survey of Drug Abuse. That survey was supposed to tell legislators in particular, and of course other policy folk, what kind of impact drug users have on society, what kind of negative impact they have. It turns out that those who engage in homosexuality are substantially, almost twice as apt to have used an illegal drug last year, both gays and lesbians, than their non-homosexual counterparts. Straight people, a certain fraction of them, I think foolishly, do use illegal drugs. It's a problem in our society. Gays and lesbians, about twice as many of them, do the same. Let's go back to the school teacher again. If you hire a person who's a gay, you're more apt to have someone who is, A, according to the survey, less apt to show up on their teaching schedule, when they're supposed to. You're going to have to use a substitute for them more frequently. Two, they're more apt to have a criminal history. Three, they're more apt to have, right now, to be engaging in illegal drug use. Then when you consider that there are other indices that affect us all, for instance, those who engage in homosexuality, both men and women, were asked about how often they had driven a car within 2 hours of taking either three or more drinks or illegal drugs. It turns out that gays and lesbians were about twice as apt to drive under the influence. Now think about that just in general, for all of us. You don't want someone on the road with you, and we're all on the road a lot, who's tanked up, who has poor judgment because their mind is beclouded by alcohol or pot or cocaine or what have you. And right now, somewhere in the vicinity of half of all fatal accidents involve someone who was high on either alcohol or drugs. You have a situation here where people who engage in homosexuality have a different, I guess you'd say, lifestyle, a different worldview, something that makes it sort of problematic to hire them and to some degree to be around them, to have them on the same street with you while you're in a car. This is not the story that we're hearing from the psychiatric associations and the psychological associations. Certainly not the story we're hearing from the gay rights people. We're no different.
But if they, you realize, of course, the reason that they got the change in the position of the American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association, is they went in and screamed and yelled and threw things and broke things up, and then, of course, they got their people put into key positions in the American Psychological Association, and then they harassed and intimidated the psychiatrist and got their people into key positions, and that's the reason that these organizations have taken the position. In fact, you know, it was the most incredible thing attending meetings where they would come in and completely disrupt things, and they would throw. And I remember the Secretary of Health and Education and Welfare was up on the stage, and they'd throw a water-filled condoms at him, and nobody would arrest them. Nobody would take a stand. And you have to understand the power, I'm sure you do, Paul, that the power of the homosexual movement has never been their own power. It has always been the power of very powerful people in the media and in government and in corporations and in foundations that were actively encouraging this tragic lifestyle.
Yes, and instead of going into more detail about this sex survey, and by the way, if people want to contact us, Family Research Institute, we have off-prints, that is, a reprint of this available. We'd be delighted to share this with you. We are now in a society that is starting to turn toward death. Probably everybody listening has sort of noticed this. There is an active, I would say even as many as a fifth or so of our citizens who are trying literally to take society apart, to destroy it. These aren't people who want it to become a socialist paradise or something else. They want it dead. They are ashamed of the lack of, I guess, equality. They're ashamed of the success of the United States. There's something about successful societies, and we're certainly among the most successful, at least monetarily and stuff-wise, of any society that's ever graced the planet. Here we have people who are literally trying to tear us apart, and they are disproportionately in the media. Think how often the media questions are not serious questions about, let's say, how could we do this better, or here's three alternatives, why not this, why not that, but rather, why the president's a liar, why rich people don't deserve what they've got, why it's all terrible and horrible and no one really deserves to live. There's something terribly wrong with the society. And look over at Europe. Europe has had this kind of an attitude permeating its elite for, well, about the last 30 or 35 years. And you certainly can see a lot of this in Nazism and communism and so forth. And the birth rate in Europe is so low now that 100 years from now, probably a number of countries that we now talk about either won't exist, or they're going to have Muslims come in and take them over just to fill the houses and use the roads and what have you. The United States, without the presence of the immigrants, illegal and otherwise, is also in a low population reproductive mode. In Europe as a whole, where the average woman is supposed to average about 2.1 children apiece, just to sustain society, just to keep it at about the same rate, same number of folk, they're at about 1.4. The native population in the United States is at about 1.8. We are more religious. We are closer to being able to pull this thing out. But think of the future. Think of the future in Europe. What happens as their population ages? I don't care whether you have private accounts for Social Security or public accounts for Social Security. When you've only got two workers for every old person, and you've got two workers for every child, there's just about no way that that social system is going to keep on ticking. And especially when the birth rate is declining. Here in the United States, not quite as bad. As I said, I think in part because we are more Christian, in part because we are still not as inundated with those seeking death and the destruction of our society. But I don't think you can turn on the TV or the radio and not hear a real clamor for the end of this social system.
And, of course, you know, what's so interesting is we have the publications of that came from Planned Parenthood encouraging homosexuality as a means of population control. And that's what's so incredible. People don't understand that this is being financed, this is being actively encouraged. And over 250 to 300,000 are already dead of the AIDS epidemic. And we're not trying to stop it. We never tried to stop it. We've never tried to save their lives. But there really are people who have a different worldview out there, Paul. They do not value human life.
No, I'm afraid they don't. And I'm afraid if you look at the great philosophers, I must say I fancy and respect Moses in Deuteronomy 32. He said, really, it boils down to kind of two ways of living. There's a way of life and a way of death. And he charged that if you'll read just one chapter, Deuteronomy 32, rhetorically, he argues that at the end of a civilization that follows the way of death, homosexuals will fill the streets. He argues that that is kind of the death knell of a society. And we're living in a society in which at least some people, and important people, people in positions of power, people in positions of trust, are saying, come on now. Forget about all that Bible stuff and Christian tradition stuff and so forth. Look at Rosie O'Donnell. Isn't she a nice person? Look at these various folk out here. I mean, they're fine. Can't we just all get along and just accept one another? And our society literally now is struggling between these two philosophies. The Christian, the Jewish philosophy of saying there is a right way, there is a God-ordered way of running the way the world ought to work. And there's also a way of death. Versus another group of folk who say some of us think that it's time to die, and that's fine. But certainly, everything that leads to death, abortion, homosexuality, no children or very few children, low birth rates, all these are actually quite good. Something to be treasured, something to be fought.
Well, I think we have people who have a different worldview. Paul, let's get your telephone number and your website out just one more time, please.
You bet. We're at 303-681-3113. That's 303-681-3113. And our web is www.familyresearchinst.org. That's INST for Institute, familyresearchinst.org. We'd be delighted to hear from you. And as I said, we have the full analysis. We've only gone through about, half of the findings.
And we're out of time. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have a book. I wrote it actually back in about 1991. It's called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. It's the best single book on the politics of AIDS. And, of course, I did not at that time realize that this was a genetically engineered virus. That's why, of course, it's decimating the black population today. It has a predilection for the blacks because they knew about the genetic differences between blacks and whites. And this disease is decimating Africa. Certainly in Botswana, 40% of the pregnant women are HIV positive, and they're all going to die. Here in America, it's decimating the black population. But my book, AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, I recommend it to you because it'll give you at least an understanding of the fact that we knew how to stop the epidemic. And we were not allowed to do that. And as a result, 500,000 Americans have died. Another million, or perhaps 1,000,000 to 200,000, the latest figures are now infected, and they're going to die as well. Why is this going on? Well, of course, you need to understand that there really is evil in the world. And we're told that we are going to see great plagues, and AIDS is simply one of those major plagues that is being allowed to consume Africa and India, and now has been introduced into China, just accidentally when they were collecting blood, and they got the blood, and they took out the white cells, and they mixed the blood back together, and they gave it back to the people. And, oh, shucks, can you imagine that a lot of them got AIDS from that mixed blood? Why would anybody do something like that unintentionally? We have a wonderful book. It's called Emerging Viruses by Dr. Len Horowitz. I think it's one of the best books ever written on the origin of the AIDS epidemic. Even has copies of the government contracts to Litton Industries to produce this terrible, terrible disease. So that's my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, and Emerging Viruses by Dr. Horowitz. And actually, of course, you can go up to our webpage, and we have a four-part series in the year 2003, and of course it extends from April to July, August. You're welcome to pull that down and copy it and go into genetic engineering and the creating of new diseases right here in America. Where did Lyme disease come from? It's a new disease. Where did chronic fatigue syndrome come from? It's a new disease. Where did AIDS come from? Where did Ebola and Marburg disease come from? They're all new diseases. In fact, what's so interesting about a Marburg disease, which was the forerunner of Ebola, it was found initially in laboratory monkeys. See, how did it get into laboratory monkeys? It's not found in the wilds of Africa, just in laboratory monkeys at that time. Well, you have to understand there really are evil and wicked people out there. You need to get our syllabus called The Hidden Agenda. It goes into water fluoridation, but it carries over to so many of the other things. And there you'll see the quotation from Bertrand Russell saying how wonderful it will be if we have just a black plague sweep the earth every generation. How wonderful it would be if we have a black plague sweep the earth once in every generation. That's the Hidden Agenda syllabus, and it goes with my talk on fluoridation and toxicity. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to document the fact that they've intentionally poisoned our children with the mercury in the vaccines, the book, Evidence of Harm. And it is the most incredible book. It is written based upon the scientific studies that are readily available, 1,000 studies that show the thyme aerosol that they put in the vaccines was dangerous, and one study that shows that it wasn't, and in that instance, everybody died. How could you prove it was harmless when everybody died? Well, after all, you shouldn't ask those questions. Don't believe your lying eyes, just believe what we tell you. It's harmless, and all the people in the original study just happened to die. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we live in an evil world. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it. That's the Brotherhood of Darkness, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, that we may have a men of God and leaders that will stand up for what's right. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.